Welcome to the Kingdom Logic podcast. It's so good to have you on the podcast. And this is the Liberty Devotional. And we started this series this January, running throughout January, especially in this season of what I call a very, very high priesthood. What I mean by that is prayer, fasting, supplication, intercession. And the Liberty Devotional is just really about equipping us to be able to do this effectively, looking at the access that we have in God, in Christ, through the new covenant. And the last episode, I dealt with the idea of liberty and the glorious liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, and what that glorious liberty looks like, which is freedom from decay and corruption. And certainly we'll keep building on this revelation throughout the year. And today I want to take that conversation and that teaching further, because one of the places that I established our teaching that I skipped it the last time was to explain to us a very important principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. In 2 Corinthians 3, Paul deals with extensively the issue of the old covenant and the new covenant, the law and grace, that grace being that which Jesus has accomplished for us. And he talks about the glory of the old covenant and the glory of the new covenant. And this glory of the new covenant is amazing. It is endless. The Bible calls it the glory that itself. There are so many dimensions to that glory, and that's a subject we'll continue to explore. One of the things that Paul did that's so vital in 2 Corinthians 3:18. They said, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." This transcendent glory of the new covenant, this glory of the sons of God, this glorious inheritance that we have in Christ. The Bible says that the secret to being transformed in experience, we have it by the finished works of Christ. We have it as an inheritance. But what we want to do is we want to leave out the inheritance, leave from the inheritance, partake of the inheritance, this glorious liberty. The Word of God shows us an important principle, and it's called beholding the glory of the Lord. And that's where I really want to put my emphasis in this episode. So please make sure that, again, as we teach, that you go back over the scriptures that you study. So I explained in the last episode what it means to behold, what it means to behold, and what we are supposed to behold. All right. And to behold simply means to meditate, right? Beholding the glory of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, simply means that we meditate. In fact, King James puts it this way. He says, "We all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." He uses the word, the idea of a mirror, looking into a mirror. Now, this is interesting because when we look and we cross-reference James chapter 1 from verses 22 to 25. I love the word of God. I love that scripture can be used to interpret scripture, and that scripture bears witness to scripture. So we look at James 1, 22 to 25. He says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, I love it, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. You know, I love the comparison of the mirror in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and then James's explanation of what it means to be committed to God's word, right? And James likens one who acts on the word of God, who does the word of God, as one that looks in the mirror and does not forget what they look like. This is very important. So as we study this, we begin to learn that beholding the glory of God as in a mirror is the act of looking intently at the word of God. Is the act of looking intently at the word of God. And that act is literally and simply meditation, meditating on the word of God. In the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua chapter 1, I love this because Joshua had just taken over a very difficult task of leading Israel. And he had taken over from Moses, who God worked with him in a phenomenal way. But when God started to deal with Joshua on route to bringing Israel into the promised land, it's amazing the simplicity of the instruction that God gave Joshua. God said to him, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and in so doing, you make your way prosperous." Now, that's interesting because all Joshua had to do was to meditate on the word, meditate on the law then. See, God gave him the law as a tool for meditation. And I want you to think of this. If the law, which the Bible describes to us as a covenant whose glory was fading, a covenant that was temporary, the ministration of death, according to 2 Corinthians 3, spiritual death, okay? If the law, meditating on the law, was able to bring Joshua into good success, bring Israel into the promised land, can you imagine what meditating on the gospel, the new covenant, the ministry of life, or the ministration of life, the perfect and the finished works of God will do? We all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. What we are beholding is that new covenant that's in Christ. Throughout this year, we're going to take time in many ways, through podcasts, through teaching, through our conferences, to really, really help us understand this new covenant. Because this new covenant has the glory that excels, okay? And of course, in the subsequent episodes, we'll look at, you know, how to meditate on this new covenant. Remember, while we are studying this, this is the key and this is the secret to realizing the glorious inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. In Acts 20, Paul says this. He says, "I commend you to God," Acts 20:32, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst those that are sanctified. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst those that are sanctified." Give you an inheritance there doesn't mean that God has not given to us an inheritance. It means that when we are built by the word, the inheritance is delivered to us in reality and in experience. So to behold, this is the key here, to behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, the glorious inheritance, is to meditate on the new covenant. All right. And to meditate, that word meditate in the Hebrew is a word known as hagar. All right. And we've done some teachings on this. And also in the book, The Dynamics of Prayer, we talk about some of these things. But to meditate, that word agar, it means several things. I'm going to go through some of them quickly, then I'm going to talk to you mostly about the benefits of meditation, right? So that word agar, all right, it means to speak, right? It means to speak. It means to ponder, to ponder. It means to mutter. It means to mutter. It means to roar. All right. And then it also implies to imagine. So to speak, to mutter, to roar, to ponder, and to imagine. To speak, to mutter, to roar, ponder, and to imagine. And so what most of what people would think about meditation is that meditation is just a quieting exercise where you just think, and you don't really kind of maybe like speak out, and it's just all in the mind. But the biblical meditation includes more than thinking. Thinking is a part of it, but the biblical meditation includes more than thinking. In fact, what God said to Joshua, God asked Joshua to meditate, but he said, don't let the Lord depart from your mouth. The meditation that God told Joshua to do was to rehearse his word and his promises on his lips. All right, so we're going to explore some of these things in the subsequent episodes, but let me let you know some of the benefits of meditation, because this is important for you. Now, meditation, remember, is beholding. So we are not just reading scriptures, we are beholding the glory of God as we do so. It has an effect on us. We are transformed. We are transfigured. We are metamorphosed. Okay, I remember that word metamorphosis. It's the process of a butterfly, of a caterpillar rather, becoming a butterfly. Something happens in our spirit every time we behold the word of God, the glory of God, and that beholding is meditating. That means every time we meditate, right, we are transformed, we are transfigured. What are some of the benefits of meditation? Well, number one, this is important. Meditation allows us, it gives us the potential to pray without ceasing. It gives us the potential to pray without ceasing. You know, the Word of God tells us that we should pray without ceasing. And you think about it, how is it possible to pray without ceasing? All right, because of course, we do different things, life, work, ministry, and all of these things. So how is it possible to pray without ceasing? Well, one of those ways to pray without ceasing is to meditate. And I love it because we just don't, meditation is not just thinking in the air. No, the biblical meditation is focused on the Word of God. All right. And so when we meditate on the word of God, automatically we interact with God in prayer. In fact, the second benefit of that is similar, which is meditation allows us to fellowship with God. It allows us to fellowship with God. You know, the language of God is his word. God's language is his word. All right. God's way of thinking is his word. When God wants to commune with a person, right? What God wants to do is not so much as to come down to that person's level. That's in a sense an operation of God, but albeit not the highest operation of God. You know, God can come down to a level, he can, relate with us and things like that. But God wants to bring us to his level. He wants, in terms of his thinking, his ways, all right? He wants to do that. And one of the ways that God does that is by his word, bringing us up in his word. And so meditation on the word of God allows me to partake, okay, as literally as an associate of the God kind of a partake of the divine nature. It allows me to share in the life of God in experience. Meditation, because as I meditate on God's word is his language. Remember that the word of God is the language of God. The word of God is the way think is the way God thinks. If anybody wants to know what God is thinking or how God thinks, please, refer to the word. God's word is what he thinks. And so to fellowship with God, we have to come up to the level of his thinking, and meditation on the word of God allows us to experience that. Another benefit of meditation is that meditation is spiritual exercise. It's spiritual exercise. It helps us to be spiritually fit when we meditate on the word of God, the strength of God's word. The word of God is spirit and life. The word of God is spirit and life, right? So meditation allows us to be spiritually fit. It's spiritual exercise. And that spiritual fitness matters because the stature we develop, right? The way that we grow in spiritual exercise allows us to be able to handle different things in the kingdom of God without being fazed. Another benefit of meditation is that it allows us to tune into God. All right. It allows us to tune into God. When we meditate and we behold the glory of God through the word of God, we are tuned into God. We find out that, we're not out practically out of tune with him. It's easy to hear his voice. All right. The next one is this, is that meditation allows us to cultivate the right mindset and attitude. This is so vital. When we meditate on the word of God, it develops a mindset. It develops a mindset. And wow, our mindset in the gospel matters. Our mindset in the gospel matters. In the book of Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, Paul says this. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by God's mercies. All right. And he says to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, who is our spiritual worship and investor. And he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Something happens when we behold the word of God, when we meditate, right? We begin to develop and cultivate the right mindset and attitude. This is important because one of the things that allows us to do an exchange in the earth realm from our inheritance to reality is when our mind begins to mirror God's mind. We have a divine mindset. Someone shout a divine mindset. Someone shout a godly mindset. Meditation allows us to cultivate the right mindset and attitude. We can receive the gospel, but if we have the wrong mindset and we don't have a gospel mindset, a kingdom oriented, a kingdom developed mindset, then we can hinder the effects of the gospel. Meditation allows us to cultivate the right mindset. Another thing is this. Well, meditation, all right, is good for spiritual diet, all right? It allows spiritual health. It allows for spiritual health. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, and emphasis, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word of God is not just for hearing. The word of God is not just for reading. The word of God is for living. And it's for healthy living, all right? The word of God is diet. It's diet, not just medication. Sometimes it's very possible to treat the gospel at a medication level, right? That means we use it when we have problems. But it's better to be healthy, all right, than to need healing. And one of the ways that we develop spiritual health is by meditating on the word of God. When we meditate on the word of God, when we behold the word of God, the new covenant that Jesus has done for us, we become healthy spiritually and in every facet of life. And the last one is transformation. Transformation, to be transfigured. Around transformation then means that we keep changing into the image of Jesus. Whenever we meditate, every time we meditate, we become more like Jesus in spirit and in reality. We'll explore some more of these things in the subsequent episode. So there's so many benefits of meditation. One of those benefits again is that meditation makes the gospel personal to us. I think this is one of my favorites. It makes the gospel personal to us. It means that I take what's written in the pages of scripture and it becomes personal to me. I personalize it, right? It takes me past the rumor level of the word of God. There's no rumor in the word. What I mean by that is that sometimes, because we've not meditated, it feels like some of the things we've heard in a message and things like that, it feels like hearsay, all right? It feels like a rumor. But when you meditate, we internalize the truth of the word of God. And you know what? We become what we behold. Wow. What an amazing time we have had studying today. And I want to encourage you to go back over this, the scriptures, the point. Find some more scriptures as you study and get meditating. Remember what James said. The word of God says to us in the book of James, right, about beholding the perfect law of liberty. I want to close on that, on verse 25. It says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, and the perfect law there is the gospel, it's the law of liberty. All right, and perseveres, being no hearer will forget, but a doer will act. He will be blessed in his doing. Well, God bless you. I look forward to continued studies, all right, on the glorious liberty. This is the Liberty Devotional. This is the Kingdom Logic Podcast. I'm glad we've been able to study the Word of God together today. God bless you.